Support for Politics and Public Policy Reporting on SDPB is made possible by SDN Communications, your business broadband provider. Learn more at sdncommunications.com.
Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. In a world of cyber attacks and voter rights controversy, the South Dakota Secretary of State's office is responsible for election integrity in the state. Current state auditor Steve Barnett is on the ballot this fall as the Republican candidate for South Dakota Secretary of State. He joins us now to talk about the campaign and his candidacy from Pierre on the phone. Steve Barnett, welcome to In the Moment. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, thanks for having me, Lori.
Give us an idea, a little bit about your background and why you're choosing to run for Secretary of State now.
You bet. I appreciate the opportunity to be here with you this afternoon. As you said, my name is Steve Barnett. I'm currently the state auditor. We live in Pierre with my family, my wife, Nicole, and our four kids, Emma, Henry, William, and Lily. And I'm originally an Aberdeen native, as is my wife. I guess I've always enjoyed public service. I worked for Wells Fargo a little bit in their student loan department in Sioux Falls after I graduated from college in 2001. Then I had an opportunity to work for Senator John Thune in his official office up in Aberdeen, and we helped with constituents' concerns. They're trying to reach a federal agency. If we helped them with, sometimes we'd help them with a Social Security case or a VA case or an immigration case and that sort of thing. And I really enjoyed that work. I did that for almost 6 years. Then I ran for the state auditor post, which was open in 2010. And I've really enjoyed that role. So we moved here in 2011, right after the flood hit in June of 11. And we've had some success there as well. We've reduced our staff by about 12%, and we've made sizable reversions back to the general fund, and I got involved with the National Association of State Comptrollers. Now they're vice president on their committee, which is nice. We've been able to develop some relationships on the national level, so to speak, and we've also added some safeguards and protections to the reimbursement process. And the auditor's role is a little, where you're elected, you can run for 2 4-year terms. It's a little more intergovernmental, I would say. We're now the Secretary of State's office, I think, will give me a chance to visit with constituents. You work, you know, a lot with the folks that file the LLCs, business folks, bankers, attorneys, and of course the voters. So there's a little more interaction with constituents, I would say. So I look forward to the opportunity to do that.
So take me back a little bit to your time working for Senator Thune, and when did it first start to dawn on you that, you know, maybe this was something that your career could take a direction in, you know, in a public service where you really have to be elected into office?
Right. You know, like I said, I really enjoyed that role. There were so many different topics that constituents would contact you with, and he had three different offices, Rapid, Aberdeen, and Sioux Falls, and, of course, the one out in D.C. And the folks out in D.C. were probably more into the policy side of things, go to committee hearings and that sort of thing. And then the folks in the state, you were more you'd go to ribbon cuttings on the senator's behalf and some different events. But you also were more involved with you're kind of plugged in with the constituents because you lived in South Dakota. But you helped with issues they were having. And those were not, you know, an individual would probably call because they're at the end of their rope. They might trying to get some Social Security disabilities, not able to work. Some folks, like a veteran, was trying to get a higher disability rating and that sort of thing, or if they're trying to get a Purple Heart. And once in a while we could get, I think it was one time where I did find we were able to shore up a Purple Heart for this gentleman. We had a little ceremony on Veterans Day, and the success of those things, the percentage was pretty low that you'd get it, but persistence usually paid off. And when you're able to experience that, that really was a neat accomplishment. And that really inspired me to say, you know, maybe someday, you know, I could run for public office. And the audit opportunity came up. I guess back then it was Auditor Sackass was term limited from running. And so that opportunity was there. And I spoke with previous auditor prior to Rich was Vern Larson, who had spent 24 years in the office, and then spent 8 years as treasurer. And he kind of explained what the role would entail and stuff. And I thought that would be a neat opportunity. And I guess I blinked, and 8 years later, here I am on the Secretary of State.
Right. So, sort of like watching your kids grow up. You know, you blink, and they're like, where did the time go, right?
That's exactly right. We're seeing that. So it seems like we've been in this young stage for a while. We've got a 7, a 5, a 3, and a 2-year-old, but my wife did drop 3 kids off to school this morning, so I think we're moving the right direction.
All right. So, as if voters choose to send you, or you know, to the next stage of your political career and elect you as Secretary of State, what do you think as you see it, what are the top priorities of that office in South Dakota specifically?
Sure. You know, and it's an important office, and it's a busy office. I've had the opportunity to visit with some bankers and attorneys and business folks that use the office, and from what I understand, they're pretty satisfied that it's up and running well. I don't think it really needs to be reformed, but I do think my first priority, I guess, would be just to provide excellent customer service, you know, in the business services division, which I think is already being done. But sometimes in government, it's easy to provide it in the private sector because you rely on customers, you know. But a lot of times in government, there's nowhere else to go. If you have to go to the county courthouse to get your license plate, you can't do that at, you know, Walmart or anywhere else. So, I think we need to continue to provide that customer service there. And of course, what you're hearing a lot about in the news is like election security. And I think that's an important topic. And the good news there is in South Dakota, we don't have like a internet connection to our vote tabulating machines and that sort of thing. And some states, I think, have had electronic voting in the past. And what you're starting to see is some of them are now walking that back. Is we really live, and I know I've seen in the last 7 years how technology has really amped up. You know, and we live in a society where we want instant gratification. We want information now at our fingertips. But I really think the paper ballots are truly the way to go. I think one thing I would want to do is become involved in the National Association with the Secretaries of State, as I've done with the state auditors and comptrollers, just because you then can develop relationships at a national level. And when something happens in a neighboring state or one on the East Coast or West Coast, then you can be prepared for that. Just in the event something, you know, or some state we're trying to get hacked or that sort of thing. But I like where we're at right now, but I think you always have to be ahead of the folks trying to, you know, compromise our system, so to speak.
Talk a little bit about data privacy, because even though the you know, the ballot itself might be paper and could be verified by looking at paper ballots, the, you know, voter registration rolls and such, you know, there's always someone wanting to, you know, attack from that direction. Talk overall about cybersecurity in the Secretary of State's office and how it can stay up with the times.
Right. No, that's a great question. And I think, you know, we've had a good relationship with the Bureau of Information and Technology, often referred to as BIT, here in Pierre. And there again, they visit with folks, you know, like the Department of Homeland Security, to try to always stay ahead of the curve, because what you're seeing is, you know, people are trying to hack in. You know, we've got, like in our office right now, we've got, so we run the payroll for the state, so Social Security numbers, whatnot, those are, that's private information. And so we've, you know, we're always in contact with the different comptrollers and auditors in different states to make sure that, you know, nothing happens to our information. But it's very important that we keep things secure, that we do have, with BIT, that we have constant visits and meetings with Department of Homeland Security so our information doesn't get compromised.
Talk about improving voter turnout and voter registration. Are there things that the Office of Secretary of State can do to sort of move the state in a direction where more and more people are encouraged to vote, have the information they need, you know, easily accessible to get out and vote?
Right. No, that's a great topic. I think, you know, for the most part, it's probably the candidate's job to push their ID'd voters, so to speak, to the polls. But I do think the Secretary of State can have a role to inform voters of the process, like you said, how to register to vote, how to request an absentee ballot, that sort of thing. Because what you're seeing, it seems like, you know, the baby boomers, they always find their way to the polls for the most part. Their turnout is higher. Those millennials, the folks, you know, 40 and under, 35 and under, that turnout is usually lower. So I think something that we could do to improve that would be to perhaps get in some of the high schools and visit with, like, the government teachers and that sort of thing about if, here's how you register. You can go to your county courthouse. You can send these forms into the county courthouse. And here's how you can request an absentee ballot, just to kind of inform them of the process. Because not every student, but most of them turn 18 by the time they graduate, you know, the majority of them. And some government teachers, I think, do that. They don't necessarily have to tell them, obviously, which party to register with, but just keep them informed of the process. And then another thing a person could do is have a voice. You can do these on campus as well, talk to the economics classes, government classes, and that sort of thing, have explained to them how to register to vote and then have voter registration drives. If they want to re-register in the county where they're going to school in, or if they'd rather request an absentee ballot where their home address is. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just, and then trying to make them feel relevant, I think part of it, like their vote does matter.
Yeah. NPR has been doing a fascinating series on, people who don't vote and why in different parts of the country. And you kind of hit on all the top things there. Sometimes they just don't feel like their vote counts or matters. And then other times it's just, they're busy. It's confusing. They don't know where to go. And, getting that information out is always important. If you're just tuning in, we're talking to Steve Barnett. He's the current South Dakota State Auditor, but he is a Republican candidate for South Dakota Secretary of State in the general election this fall. And Steve, you're heavily favored to win. I was doing some national research about different Secretary of State elections throughout the country, and South Dakota was listed as, they had you listed as a, quote, overwhelming favorite. And people are already speculating because of your, healthy fundraising that there's a political future for you outside this office. So how do you handle people sort of jumping the gun like that and saying, hey, this is Secretary of State. It's a stepping stone. Look at how much money he has in account. This is what he's going to do next. How do you address those, those comments in the world?
Well, I'll take that as a compliment, but you're exactly right. We're not taking anything for granted. It's just one day at a time. And, yet we've been trying to have a couple fundraising events and then send out a couple fundraising letters just to help us get our message out in the fall. And just so we can do some newspaper ads and maybe some radio and possibly some TV. All that stuff is very expensive. And to get noticed among anytime you got a gubernatorial race or a congressional race, you really got to spend some money. And it's harder. It's a lot more difficult for constitutional officers in down ticket races to raise money. I guess one point is you don't need as much usually as the gubernatorial race or the congressional races, but it's just harder to raise the funds because you don't have your constituency is a lot narrower when you're running for a constitutional office. But we're just taking this one step at a time. I don't know. We do know we're working really hard for a 4 to a possibly 8-year job is be the max that you can do. Each constitutional officer can run for 2 4-year terms, but we're just taking it one step at a time. The second you take something for granted, then that can usually blow up in your face, so to speak.
Talk a little, if you will, about Chantel Krebs, the current Secretary of State, and when she ran for office, she wasn't able to come and say, I don't think this is an office that needs to be reformed. How do you see sort of how she is handing the office off to the next person, whoever that might be?
Sure. Secretary Krebs has done a good job with that office. All you have to do is talk to some of the business folks, that use that office. And she has a good work ethic, and she's taken it very serious. I know some of the filings and stuff were behind when she walked in, and she's they've done a nice job of upgrading some of the software and stuff to make it user-friendly to do some of those business filings online now. And I think she's really got it to a level where no matter who were to win this office or this seat, that literally they can come in and start working on day one and hit the ground running. Because budget-wise and work-wise, she really has it at a level that is really performing pretty well, in my opinion.
Yeah. When you talk about keeping South Dakota a business-friendly state, do you have specific ideas of how to grow that customer service and those connections?
Well, I think, again, and we talked about this, I think we want to continue to embrace technology and make it user-friendly, but, again, we don't want to do anything that'll compromise our information at all. And when you do, when you are filing these filings, you know, in a timely manner, that generates revenue for the state. And, again, Secretary Krebs has done a nice job of that. She was aware of that. And so that's, if you don't do it in a timely manner, then you're leaving money on the table, so to speak, for South Dakota. So I would just say that, you know, again, I would like to try to get involved, get to meet some of the other Secretary of States around the country if I were to win, and see how, you know, what software upgrades they've made to kind of make their systems more user-friendly. I think I always say the biggest room in the house is the room for improvement, no matter which organization you're with. And we'll always try to strive and try to make things better and more efficient, as long as that's feasible, so to speak.
Steve Barnett is a Republican candidate for South Dakota's Secretary of State. He joined us on the phone from Pierre. Steve, thank you so much for being here with us.
Hey, thanks for having me, Lori.
You can hear all our Meet the Candidate interviews on our website at listen.sdpb.org.